For the first time in 44 years, the Boilermakers are back in the Final Four. Purdue will take on NC State on Saturday. If the Boilermakers win, it's a shot of a national championship on Monday. Kyle Charters and Brian Newbert for Gold and Black Radio. Brian, in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you are doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502. The Boilermakers move on to the Final Four in Phoenix, where Purdue will play NC State on Saturday, the winner, then to the national championship game on Monday. Brian, it was a heck of a performance by Purdue in what you knew was going to be a very hotly contested, a very good game against Tennessee, two teams that I think were familiar enough against each other, having played earlier in the season to sort of have an idea what each was going to bring to the table. And I think that showed in the game on Sunday. And Purdue just was able to make a couple of more plays, which is sort of how we thought it would go, a couple more plays than Tennessee in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, just two great college basketball teams playing in a really high-stakes environment. I don't know if fans would go for this, but I think Purdue and Tennessee ought to play every year because this is four games now they've played against one another just in the last couple of years that have been just unbelievable college basketball games. Purdue's gotten the better of them three of the four times, but all of them could have gone either way. And I think there was no better opponent for Purdue to have to go through to get to where it wanted to go than Tennessee. And I think Tennessee probably would tell you the same about Purdue. Just a great college basketball game. And obviously two of the best players in the country, the two best players in the country, in my opinion, going at it. And Zach Edey was just a little bit better than Dalton Knecht. And I think that, you know, both of those guys kind of really legitimized their claims to greatness this season in college basketball. And, you know, Purdue obviously got to where it wanted to go and really, really scored a really significant win, not only this season, but in the history of the program.
Yeah. I mean, I think as the season's gone, went by and, you know, Purdue had some other opportunities at times against lower seeds, maybe to break through, like against St. Peter's, when you sort of felt like the door had swung open for Purdue and it was going to face a 13 seed or whatever the Peacocks were a couple of years ago, that maybe it was appropriate that in the year that Purdue finally broke through, that it didn't take the door swinging wide open. What it took was Purdue just barging right through the front door and playing the best team. And arguably, I think maybe it'll turn out this way, maybe it won't, but Tennessee was probably of the teams left in the Elite Eight, the tough matchups for Purdue were probably A, UConn, obviously, because it's going to be a tough matchup for anyone, but B, you know, Tennessee. And so Purdue had to play everyone. Like, it played the top teams coming through. And,
and didn't have to take a back door to come in. It knocked straight through the front. I thought that was probably fitting for how this has gone over the last, you know, 4+ decades.
Yeah. I mean, people who were worried about getting out of the first weekend just weren't paying attention all year. Like,
yeah,
there's no difference between this Purdue team. I'm sorry. There's no similarity between this Purdue team and where Purdue was a year ago at this time. They're a completely different basketball team. I've been saying that for weeks, if not months, that last year has nothing to do with this year, except for what last year made this team into. They were never going to fall on the same pitfalls. They were never going to step on the same landmines. They were never going to wear down the way last year's team wore down. They're more experienced. They're more mature. They're tougher. They're more complete. Their players are better. They have more experience together. They've been through everything, including historic failure. And I don't know if the things that propelled Purdue to where Purdue ended up getting, and obviously they're not done yet, were possible without that FDU loss, because I think that really banded things together, really thickened their skin, really toughened them up, and really gave them a purpose coming into this season. And to this point, it couldn't have gotten any better.
Yeah. You know, as I watched sort of the first part of the game against Tennessee on Sunday, because obviously I was calling a baseball game on the radio. It's sort of hard to pay too close attention. And then watched the last 8 minutes of the game live. It struck me, and I thought about this a little bit beforehand too, that this team does remind me a little bit of the 1999 women's team. And I know we were both covering that team 25 years ago now, gosh. You know, there was a game in that tournament. Purdue trailed Rutgers. I don't know what the score was at the half. It felt like by 8 points at the half, sort of similar to the Tennessee game in that Purdue trailed Tennessee by 11 points in the first half. And, you know, I can just remember talking to you at halftime of that Rutgers women's game in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, 25 years ago. And just, I think, sort of asking you, what do you think? And you're like, meh, they'll be fine. Because you did just have a sense maybe that that team had something greater that it was playing for and would figure out a way back into the game. And you do get a little bit of a sense with this team. And, you know, for that women's team back in the day, it was other obstacles that they had overcome, coaching changes and player transfers and, you know, players sticking around and the leadership, I think, that, you know, Stephanie White and Yukari Figgs displayed because of everything they had been through during their 4 years. And it's a different story, obviously, with this Purdue team, but this Purdue team had been through a lot with the losses over the same, you know, over the years prior. Do you share any sense of that? I mean, I know it was a long time ago and a different team with different personalities, but it does feel like there's something there with this Purdue team that, you know, even with the odds sort of stacked against it in that moment, you felt like Purdue was still going to be able to get back into the game.
Yeah, I actually drew that comparison right after the game on whatever day it was in Detroit, was that I've not covered a team that I had that same sense about ever since that 99 women's basketball team, where they just had such an equilibrium about them where, you know, it didn't matter what the circumstances were. They were going to steady themselves. They were going to respond, and, you know, the cream was going to rise to the top, so to speak. And, you know, even when Purdue was down 11 in that first half, you just knew, because you'd seen it so many times this season. Right. Maybe not Purdue necessarily being down double digits all that often, but like the end of the Illinois game at Illinois a couple weeks ago was just a classic example of kind of what this team's made of. You're in a hostile environment, and things could easily go sideways on you, and they almost did a couple times, and you just kept hanging in there. And that's, I don't really know how to articulate that. I've been trying to come up with a way for a couple weeks, but there've been a couple of games this season where they're like right on the cusp of things getting bad, but they just find a way to just stick to the bottom of your shoe until they can get steadied and kind of make their run. And that's exactly what, you know, Purdue did against Tennessee, where it got to 11, but it never got to like 15 or something like that. The turnover stopped when the turnovers needed to stop, and then Purdue answers with what should have been like a 17-0 run. It ended up being 15-2, but the two for Tennessee was off a bad turnover that led to a dunk. all of Tennessee's points were in scrambles. You know, it was kind of one of those games. But no, Purdue just has this balance about them, has this experience and this steadiness about them that comes from a lot of places. It comes from, you know, Zach Edey's consistency and his just business-like demeanor, the confidence that everybody has to get from having him on their team, but also Braden Smith just being an absolute command this year of everything is a big part of it. Fletcher Loyer being an absolute savage as a competitor and as just a steady guy who wants the ball and just oozes like ridiculous confidence that completely belies the optics of him as a player. that's my way of politely saying he's a goofy looking white guy. He is just an absolute cutthroat competitor. Lance Jones is just the same mode all the time.
Lance seems to have no memory. Like for better and worse,
Lance Jones is the same all the time.
Yeah.
And you just have cerebral guys and Trey Kaufman, Rand, Mason Gillis, who are competitors, and their effort never, ever wanes. And I think that's all that stuff together. And I just listed off a lot of stuff. That's the reason Purdue has been so damn consistent all year long. I mean, that's what's defined this team. It's been consistency. They're the same every game. They don't get rattled. They've never phoned one in. Whereas every team in college basketball every now and then just sucks one day. And Purdue has never sucked. Like, as I keep saying, at no point in time this season has Purdue's best just not been enough.
Yeah.
In comparison to someone else's best, Purdue has lost when it's turned the ball over. But in those games, Purdue has still been right there and been good enough to win. It's just the turnovers catch up with them in the end. And that's four games out of, what, 37?
Yeah.
This team has just been unbelievably steady, unbelievably mature, unbelievably purposeful, and unbelievably consistent. And I wouldn't anticipate that changing now.
You said, I think you wrote something, and you probably said it somewhere else perhaps too, but that after losses this year, Purdue seemed unmoved.
Unbothered.
Unbothered, no, yeah.
It's been weird all year long because they lose that game in December to Northwestern and they're all like, yeah, we're fine. Yeah, whatever. But then they win these games in the NCAA tournament. You go in that locker room and it's like a bunch of guys waiting around the dentist office. They're just kind of sitting there. And I'm sure there was some celebration that we weren't always privy to because they don't let the media write in, or should they? But it's just so muted, and there's just this business-like demeanor to these guys that is almost surreal because it's the opposite of what normally is at the NCAA tournament. Ordinarily, a team that wins in the NCAA tournament, there's at least some relief coming out or something like that. You might not be like celebrating and, you know, dumping water buckets on top of each other, but at least there's some relief. At least there's a sense of like some accomplishment. After these games, Purdue's just like, yeah, this is what we knew would happen. Like, okay. It's just weird. Yeah. It's interesting, but it's weird because I've covered 15 of these things or 17 of these things, whatever it is at this point. It's never been like that. And I've covered good teams, like really good teams. And it's eerie. Somebody used the word eerie. And I remember at the Big Ten tournament, there was another media guy there. And I wasn't privy to this conversation, but I overheard him telling somebody, yeah, my buddy just went to Purdue's locker room. They don't even care they lost.
Like, yeah.
The reality is they do care. They just, it doesn't affect them. They're just on to the next one. Right. And with the exact same approach to the ones that came before, and it served them really well. And it's just a really unique kind of energy around this team that they just hold themselves to such a high standard, and they're just on such a mission, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. It does not mean that they will win the next two games. It, you know, they might not win on Saturday, certainly, if they end up playing UConn, if the teams that are favored win on Saturday, the Huskies are going to present a whole lot of challenges. They're really good. What do you think about the draw here in Phoenix, NC State on Saturday? They've got a big guy that plays a little bit differently than Purdue's big guy. It'll be a very interesting, I think, that sort of chess match there on who matches up with who. Because I don't personally think that DJ Burns guarding Zach Edey is a good thing for NC State. Zach to me is a lot quicker than Burns. And I don't think Purdue will guard him that way. But what do you think about maybe the draw here in NC State on Saturday?
Well, I think that, I've always kind of viewed the NCAA tournament as random to the point where it's a borderline illegitimate championship determinant. And I think NC State is kind of the face of that, just because it's just been a matter of getting hot at the right time and just some breaks going your way, stuff like that. And objectively, they shouldn't be here. That's just the reality of it. That's not to take anything away from what they did, but I'm guessing that probably seven of these last nine teams probably look past them to a certain extent, and Purdue will not do that. If I already mentioned that, I think the NCAA tournament is just random, and it's
Yeah.
just a kind of a funhouse mirror of reality in terms of what it does to reality and the way we perceive and consume college basketball. But if it is Purdue and UConn, as expected, this will be one of those years where it is the two best teams. Now, it's been those two in Houston all year. Houston got the circumstances that normally have befallen Purdue
Yeah. Injury.
in these
Yeah.
situations, unfortunately for Houston. But of those left, clearly UConn and Purdue are the two best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying of those left. I think from the whole season. And if you get those two in the title game, I think it's going to be absolute must-see TV. And I think it's going to be a really, really legitimate determinant of who's the national champion this year. Now, that said, Purdue can't look past NC State. They're on one of those magic carpet rides. And, I said this before St. Peter's, and I'm saying that in advance to put in context what I'm about to say here. But, teams like this are, you kind of expect them to turn into pumpkins at some point.
Yeah.
And like St. Peter's didn't. Now, Purdue messed that one up as much as St. Peter's probably won it, but NC State's had damn near a month now to turn into a pumpkin and hasn't. And they went from their coach being fired basically after a four-game losing streak to end the regular season to getting hot at the right time, a baseball team running into the wrong pitching staff at the wrong time basically, and winning the ACC tournament and then carrying that over into the NCAA tournament. They're doing something right, but I am telling you that Purdue's going to double team DJ Burns, who I have to not call DJ Bird. This is just, I have to override my muscle memory and what I say. I have called him DJ Bird, I don't know how many times now.
Yeah.
Like every time I would type in
Different guy.
Dakota Mathias, every time I type in Dakota Mathias, it would come out Mathis.
Yeah.
Or no, every time I try to type in Montez Mathis's name, it would come out Mathias, just because my body is conditioned for it to go a certain way. And no, but I think Purdue's going to really prepare for NC State, as I'm sure all these other teams have, but they're going to have a game plan in place for DJ Burns. But they're going to have to stop DJ Horn too. I mean, there's more to this team than just the guy that's kind of captivated everybody's imagination here in the NCAA tournament. But Purdue's not going to look past North Carolina State, nor did they look past Grambling or Utah State or Gonzaga or Tennessee, even though Purdue had already beaten Gonzaga and Tennessee.
Yeah.
This is as dialed in, as purposeful a team as I think I've ever seen at Purdue in any sport, at least ever since that team we referenced earlier, that 99 women's basketball championship.
North Carolina State like needed a three-pointer at the last second against Virginia, right? In the ACC tournament. If it loses that game, doesn't
Virginia
make.
also missed a ton of free throws, and boo-hoo Virginia, right? Like, after that run of luck they had in the tournament years back, like they've got like a generation of bad bounces going against them. But yeah, NC State wouldn't be in the tournament if not for that North, that Virginia game. Virginia shouldn't have been in the tournament either. They just weren't very good this year, and they let that one get away against NC State. I think there was a banked in three in there too. But at some point in time, a 9-game winning streak is not just a fluke. At some point in time, you have to view NC State for what they are now, and for what, not for what they were since November. And I'm sure Purdue will do the latter, not or the former, not the latter. I can't remember what I said. I think you know what I mean.
I do. So we both love the term narratives, right? The narrative about Purdue heading into this tournament was that it had lost to three straight double-digit seeds. Getting lost in that, of course, is that one time that was in the Sweet 16. Nobody sort of mentioned that part of it, but that was the narrative, right? Double-digit seeds. The new way to look at this, right, is that of the last five tournaments, Purdue has made a Sweet 16, an Elite Eight, and now a Final Four. I mean, it's the same span, right? It's the same. You could literally spin the narrative two different ways, but it
No.
does.
Are you trying to trigger my disdain for the word narrative?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
I
doing
hate
that,
it.
but also
Do you know why I hate it?
I
Because
don't.
it's a reductive, convenient, dismissive term that people just use when they don't want to when they don't want to accept something. Hey, the sky is red. Oh, well, that's just your narrative. Stuff like that. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but for wordsmiths like me, distinguished wordsmiths like myself, I kind of take exception to that. I hate the word content too, because it's just a synonym for stuff. And when we say stuff, we're basically just telling our consumers, our readers, our listeners, you'll just accept anything we give you, which is we obviously think very highly of our consumers. So I don't like using the word content either. I'm such a dork with this stuff, aren't I? To your point, to your question, I think we live in a culture, in a sports society particularly, in particular, that lives in the moment and likes to apply labels to things and also doesn't go out of its way to know what it's talking about. And I think that a lot of that is what has been Purdue's issue. Now, that said, Purdue has lost 3 years in a row, had lost 3 years in a row to teams that should have beaten. I mean, there's no way around that. That is the reality. Purdue should have beaten North Texas in the bubble. They should have beaten St. Peter's in the Sweet 16, and they should have beaten FDU last year. There were reasons in all three of that games, in all three of those games, it didn't, but they still should have. And once that builds up and takes off, all of a sudden, you get this label that it's up to you to shed. And to Purdue's credit, they owned it, that they embraced it. They talked about it when they didn't have to talk about it. And the real feat of this season, to me, is not necessarily Purdue winning that last game to get to the Final Four, but Purdue being right back there to win that game to get to the Final Four. I just compared it to, like, if you're one putt away from winning the Masters, right? And you miss, and you say to yourself, next time I'm in this position, I'm going to make that putt. How the hell hard is it to get back to that position?
It's almost impossible.
How many teams can do, how many golfers could do that? How many teams could do that? Redemption is a very, very difficult achievement to attain, in part because it's so hard to get back to where you have to be to attain it. And for Purdue to have been so consistent all year long, and Purdue to have been this good all year long, and Purdue to have never been weighted down by being the butt of jokes and, the obvious sandbag they had to carry around on their back all year long, that never showed up in any sort of adverse manner. In fact, it's the opposite. It showed up in a positive manner because it really did forge this team into what they are to a certain extent, to a significant extent, if you ask me. And that's what's really kind of been remarkable about this season.
Perception matters too. I mean, the perception now will be that Purdue is a program that can make a Final Four, and over a 5-year period can also go to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16.
Well, perception matters to people who matter, and I think
in recruiting, I mean, that stuff matters, right? I mean, all that matters.
Yeah, sure. But I think that perception is also driven by people who don't know what they're talking about necessarily. I think if we're conflating social media with like what programs are,
right,
I think that that's kind of a flawed logic. I think that, you know, people who know basketball, people who know like Painter and Purdue and things like that have always viewed them very highly, have always rooted for Purdue, while somehow the other part of our culture has somehow villainized Purdue for
that's weird.
No good reason, or and kind of mocked Purdue for being a program that couldn't quite get there, when to anyone paying attention, you know, that it was fairly obvious Purdue was eventually going to get there. It was just a matter of when. It was just a matter of not having an untimely ACL injury, not having an untimely elbow broken, not having a once in a lifetime play go against you at the end of Virginia when you're a tenth of a second away from a Final Four, you know, that kind of thing. It was, they were going to get there. If you ask me, did Purdue get there sooner than I would have anticipated after that Virginia game? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was because of Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer and everything that happened last year. Zach Edey obviously turning into Superman. He cemented his place as one of the great players ever in the history of college basketball now.
Yeah.
What he's done for this program in the last 2 years is just beyond words. And he's the reason for this, but at the same time, it's not possible without Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, what those guys have done here too. And people paying attention to the point I made earlier about how last year wasn't Purdue's shot, because Purdue wasn't as complete as it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue didn't have the backcourt experience it needed. Purdue didn't have the legs at the end of the year it needed. That was all going to be different this year. It just was. And you can go back and find the receipts on our website. It was all written. It was all talked about. And it all came to pass. And anybody paying attention would have accepted the fact that this day was going to come eventually. People not paying attention, people being purposely dumb on social media, probably just want to make their little jokes and have all year. And we're wrong.
Enjoy your time in Phoenix.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Bye.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast app by searching Gold and Black Radio and leave us a 5-star review. That'll do it for the show. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.